بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our seventh session reading from حقوق كبار السن في الإسلام, يعني the rights of the elderly in Islam, by our noble Sheikh عبد الرزاق, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, Hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Before we look at our topic for tonight, which is the beginning of the last section of this book, the actual enumeration of the rights of the elderly, we want to review some of the points that we discussed last week, which were the final points related to those matters which one must be conscious of as a means of helping us fulfill the rights of the elderly. And the Sheikh mentioned five matters which a person should be conscious of, should call to mind and pay attention to as a means of helping one to fulfill the rights of the elderly and to be consistent in doing so. So last week, we covered the last two points of those five matters, and we want to start with that. The first question from last week's session is mentioned the fourth of five matters we must be conscious of as a means of helping us fulfill the rights of the elderly. The fourth of the five matters, which the Sheikh mentioned, that are a means of helping one fulfill the rights of the elderly. Naam, Abdul Wali. Naam. Kama tadinu tudanu. Yani, so the fourth matter that the Sheikh mentions is this principle, the meaning of which is, just as you treat others, so also will you be treated. Yani, with like treatment. The Sheikh said, the fifth matter is that a person remembers, calls to mind this important principle, that you, the way you treat others is the way you're going to be treated. So this will be, yani, a matter that can help a person, encourage a person to do better, to treat other people better, especially those who have special rights, like the elderly, so that, yani, you can receive the same treatment in return. Question number two, memorize an ayah from the 55th surah, 60th ayah of the Quran, which indicates the principle of a good return for those who do good. The principle of a good return for those who do good. Now, anybody remember this ayah? Surah Al-Rahman. Now, follow. Hal jaza'ul ihsani. Al-ihsani. Now, is the reward for doing good anything except good? Will anything except good come to one who does good? And this is in the form of a question, but actually what is intended, and he is to state categorically that only good returns to the one who does good. The third question, memorize an ayat from Surah Ar-Rum, 30th Surah, 10th ayat, which indicates the principle of an evil end for those who do evil. Now, let's try it. Your name again? Again? Mamadou. Naam. Muhammad. I was going to say it, but like a little bit difficult. Muhammad, inshallah. I'm Abu Muhammad, so Muhammad is easy for me. Naam. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the meaning of which is that the end of those who do evil, yani the result, the consequence will be that they will receive evil. Yani the aqibah means what will happen in the end of those who do evil. The aqibah, the end will be that evil will come back to them. Question number four. Summarize the meaning of the two weak narrations which relate to showing contempt or honoring the elderly. Yani just the general meaning of those two narrations. Now, Abdul Wali.
Basically, how you treat the elderly, whether it's good or bad, inshallah, one day you will get old and you will be treated in that same manner.
Now, the meaning that if a young person, yani, honors and respects and treats an elderly person well, then inshallah, if they get to be old, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it so that they will be treated likewise. And the opposite. Yani, if a person shows contempt and disdain and belittle the elderly, then if they live to get old, Allah is gonna make the same thing come back to them. Yani, so these narrations were intended as an indication of the detail of this particular principle. Yani, and that is that as you treat others, you will be treated. Yani, that only good comes from good, and the end result of evil is evil. Now, question number 5, mention the fifth matter we must be conscious of as a means of helping us fulfill the rights of the elderly. The fifth matter that the Shaykh mentions. Fifth matter. What is the fifth matter?
Fadl. Knowing how the people of the past used to deal with the matter, how they treated the elderly.
Naam, knowing how the people of the past, how As-Salaf As-Salih, the righteous predecessors, the companions, and the following generation after the companions, and he looking at, examining, studying, giving attention to how they used to deal with the elderly, so that a person can follow suit, yani, and treat the elderly the same way they did, yani, the respect and the honor and the fulfillment of the rights of the elderly that we see in the lives of the early generations of the Muslims. Question number 6, explain the meaning of whoever resembles them will be the most complete regarding it. Whoever resembles them will be the most complete regarding. What is this statement? And what is the meaning of this statement? Who is referred to in this statement, whoever resembles them? Them who? Who does that mean?
The companions.
Yani, the Salaf As-Sali, the companions, radiallahu anhum, and the Tabi'een and Atba'a Tabi'een. And whoever resembles the righteous early generations of the Muslims, the good people from the first generations of the Muslims, whoever resembles them, then will be most complete regarding it. Will be most complete regarding what? They will be most complete in what? If they resemble the first generations of the Muslims.
Akhlaq.
Huh? And akhlaq, yani, in having good character and manners and showing respect for the elderly, honoring them, yani, holding them in high esteem. And whoever resembles the first generation of the Muslims, then this person will be most complete, yani, in having those good manners in the way that they dealt with the elderly. Yani, resembling the companions and the early generations of the Muslims, radiallahu ajma'in, resembling them, the more a person resembles them, the more complete will be a person's good character and manners in dealing with the elderly and overall. Question number 7, summarize the story in As-Sahihain, yani in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked about the tree which resembles the mu'min. What is the summary of this story? Yani, the hadith that's reported in Al-Bukhari and Muslim from Abdullah ibn Umar. Summary of this story. Not every word of it, but the summary. Now,
Fadl. Basically, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a question to the companion. Amongst them was Ibn Umar, who saw himself as one of the younger companions. And so even though in his mind he knew the answer, he was shy and he felt it was out of place for him to speak in front of his elders. And so he remained silent even though he thought he had the right answer, which he actually did.
Now, so the Prophet ﷺ asked his companions a question, yani, about a tree that resembles the believer. And in some narrations, the Muslim or Mu'min, either way. And Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, was sitting amongst the people. And he was the youngest amongst them. And he felt that he had the answer to the question. But when he looked around and saw that everybody was all the people, out of respect for them, he felt shy to speak in their presence. Yani, to give the answer that he felt was what the Prophet ﷺ was asking about, but out of respect for them, he felt shy to answer, so he didn't say anything. The last question, what is the shahid, that is the part of the story which the author intends to make his point from? What is the yani, aspect of this story that the Shaykh, he mentions it in reference to what? Yani, to prove what point? To make what point? Fadlu. It's Fadlu.
That out of his shine and now respect for their age and their elm, that he didn't want to speak, even though he had the right answer.
Yeah, his hesitance to speak was due to his shyness, out of reverence, out of respect and honor for the elders, showing respect for them. Yani, that is the state of mind that he was in. His mental attitude was, these are my elders, who am I to be speaking amongst them? I should remain silent. Now, so that's the point that the Shaykh is bringing this matter for. And at this point, we want to go to the last section of the book, which deals with the enumeration of the rights, or some of the rights of the elderly, some of the rights of the elderly, the people who are up in age. And the Shaykh, I think, mentions 8 points. We'll try to cover some of them tonight, 4 or 5 of them, if possible, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And then in the next session, inshallah, we'll try to complete what remains from this discussion. So tonight we're going to be reading from page 30 from the English, from the Arabic text, and in the English translation, 58 begins on page 58. Now, page 58 in the English translation, page 30 of the Arabic text. And this is dealing with some of the rights of the elderly that all of this discussion up to now is, yani, for this purpose. Yani, to be prepared to know what are the rights of the elderly and to, yani, feel their importance and be encouraged to fulfill them. So the Shaykh, he begins by saying, أَمَّا هُقُوقَ الْكَبِيرَ الَّتِي دَعَى إِلَيْهَا الْإِسْلَامُ وَأَمَرَ بِهَا فَهِيَ أَوَّلًا تَوْقِيرُهُ. And as far as the rights of the elderly, which Islam calls to, invites to, and commands us with, as far as those rights of the elderly that Islam, the deen of Allah, calls us to and commands us with, then they are the following, or from them are the following. أولاً, the first of them is توقيره, يعني توقير of the elderly, يعني showing reverence for them, respect and honor. كما جاء في الحديث, as it came in the hadith mentioned previously, and the Shaykh just refers to the portion of it, يوقر كبيرنا. The Prophet ﷺ said in this hadith, لَيْسَ مِنَّا لَيْسَ مِنَّا, he is not from us. مَنْ لَمْ يُوَكِّرْ كَبِيرَنَا وَيَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا, and he is not one of us who doesn't honor, respect and show reverence for the elderly and who doesn't have mercy upon the youth. This hadith reported by Tirmidhi from Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه, Shaykh al-Albani mentions it in Silsila al-Hadith al-Sahihah. Yani, the Prophet ﷺ is saying that the person who doesn't show respect and honor and reverence for the elderly, he is not one of us. He is not upon the sunnah of our Prophet ﷺ. He is not upon his path, his way. Yani, he is on some other path. The Shaykh says, yani, this word, tawqir, hiya kalimatun azimatun, laha ma'anin جليلة ورفيعة جدا. Yani, that this word is a tremendous, magnificent word that has many lofty, sublime meanings. And the Shaykh is going to mention some of the meanings that are entailed in this word, التوقير. He said, وهي, I'm sorry, he said, الكبير يوقر, yani the elderly person is to be shown respect and reverence and honor, to be held in high esteem. ويكون له مكانة في النفوس ومنزلة في القلوب وله احترام وله إكرام. Here the Shaykh gives sort of an explanation or brief summary discussion of what is the meaning of at-tawqir. That is, that he has a status and he has a station in the hearts and in the souls of the people. لَهُ مَكَانَةٌ فِي النُّفُوسِ. He has a high status in the souls of the people. A manzila, a high station, في القلوب, in the hearts of the people. And this is an indication to us that this view of the elderly is something that's in the human being. It's not just something that is an outward manifestation alone. Rather, it's something that comes from inside the human being. In their heart, they actually recognize the station and the status of the elderly, in their heart, in their soul. وَلَهُ احترام, he is entitled to respect. وَلَهُ اقرام, he is entitled to be honored. Yani in a person's soul, in their self, in their heart, they recognize this, that the elderly person has a high station and a high status, has a special rank, is entitled to be respected and honored. They recognize this within their self. وهذا منطلق ورقيزة القيام بحقوق الكبير. And this is the starting point, that a person has within their self, in their heart, in their soul, this recognition of the rank, of the station, of the position, of the status of the elderly. This is the starting point. And it is the supporting pillar, yani the base, the basis, the foundation through which a person is enabled to fulfill the rights of the elderly. Yani it starts with first with that which is in the heart and the soul of the human being, recognizing that the elderly have a special worth, a special value, a special rank, a station. Recognizing this, this is the starting point, and then it is the supporting pillar that enables the people to fulfill the rights of the elderly. And the Shaykh says, لِأَنَّ مَنْ لَمْ يُوَكِّرْ الْكَبِيرُ لَا يُمْكِنْ أَنْ يَقُومَ بِحُقُوقِهِ. And that is because, yani why is this the starting point and why is this the supporting pillar for the fulfillment of the rights of the elderly? Because the person who doesn't have respect for, who doesn't yani recognize the station and the position and the rank and the worth of the elderly, the person who doesn't have this in their heart, it's not possible then for that person to fulfill the rights of the elderly. And if a person doesn't have that in their heart, in their self, they're not going to be able to fulfill the rights of the elderly, yani to honor and respect them and to treat them well and to yani help them and support them. Yani a person is not going to be able to do that unless he already has within his heart and within his soul yani this recognition of the high station, the status, the rank, the position of the elderly. فَتَوْكِيرُهُ حَقٌ لَهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْوَقْتِ نَفْسِهِ رَقِيزَةٌ للقيام بسائر حقوقه وجميع واجباته. So this توقير is both a right of the elderly and it is also at the same time it is the supporting pillar, the foundation, the basis for the fulfillment of the remaining rights of the elderly as well as all of those other obligations that go with it. Yani, tawqir of the elderly is a right of the elderly, and it's also, yani, the pillar, the basis, the foundation upon which the other rights, the remaining rights of the elderly and other obligations towards them, yani, are fulfilled. Then the Shaykh expresses it in another way. Then he comes back again to tawqir. What is the meaning of tawqir? He says, وَتَوْقِيرُ الْكَبِيرُ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ فِي قَلْبِكَ وَقَارٌ وَمَكَانَةٌ وَأَنْ تَعْرِفَ لَهُ قَدْرَهُ وَمَكَانَتَهُ وَمَنْزِلَتَهُ فَهُوَ حَقٌ مِنْ حُقُوقِهِ. Tawqir of the elderly, it is that a person has in his heart, that you have in your heart, وَقَارٌ يعني reverence and respect, وَمَكَانَةٌ the recognition of the status of the elderly, and that you acknowledge his qadr, and his makana and his manzila. That you acknowledge his worth, his rank, his status, and his station. Any tawqir of the elderly is that a person has something in their heart of reverence and respect and the right, yani the recognition of the right of the worth and the rank and the station and the status of the elderly. So this is, yani this tawqir is one of the rights of the elderly. It's one of the rights of the elderly, and as well as the starting point and the foundation upon which other rights could be fulfilled. Again, why? Because the person who doesn't have tawqir in their heart, in their soul, for the elderly would not be able to fulfill the rights of the elderly. This is the first point that the Shaykh makes in terms of the rights of the elderly. From amongst the rights of the elderly is this most important of those rights, which is what enables a person to fulfill the other rights. The recognition of the rank, of the station, of the status, of the honor and respect that is due to the elderly, that a person has that in their heart. If it's not in a person's heart, then they need to search for it. They need to, yani, read those ayat and those ahadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made available to us to be able to know the importance of these rights of the elderly and their station and their status. And here the Shaykh mentions, yani, the second right of the elderly. And he goes back to, yani, one of those hadith that make us to see the importance of the rights of the elderly and fulfilling them and being consistent in doing so. He says, ثانياً ما جاء في الحديث الآخر حديث أبي موسى. Yani, the second right of the elderly is that which came in another hadith. The hadith of Abu Musa. This hadith is reported in the Sunan of Abu Dawud. And Shaykh al-Albani in Sahih al-Jami'ah said that it is Hasan. The hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, inna min ijlalillahi ikramu dhishaybatil muslimi. Yani, from the manifestations or the aspects of ijlal of Allah, showing reverence for Allah. Yani, an aspect of showing reverence for Allah is that you honor and respect the elderly Muslim. Ikram the ashaybati al-Muslimi. Yani, honoring and showing respect for the elderly Muslim, the white-haired or grey-haired Muslim, yani the elderly person. This is an aspect of showing reverence for Allah, that you show honor and respect for the elderly Muslim. This is the second of the rights of the Muslim. And the Shaykh begins to explain here, what do we mean by ikram? What do we mean by ikram? Ikram of the elderly Muslim. He said, أَن تُكْرِمَهُ بِمَا تَدُلُّ عَلَيْهِ هَذِهِ الْكَلِمَةِ مِنْ مَعْنَى حسني الخطاب وطيبي المعاملة وجميل التودد إلى غير ذلك من صور الإكرام. يعني showing إكرام for the elderly, he says it is that you honor them in every way that is indicated in the meanings of this word, إكرام. Honoring them in every way that is indicated in the meanings of this word, including حسني الخطاب. Yani, that a person, when he speaks to an elderly person, or she speaks to an elderly person, they speak to them with pleasant speech. With pleasant speech. So a person has to be careful how you talk to the elderly. Can't just talk to them like you talk to, yani, somebody on the street that you don't have any respect for. We have to be careful how we talk to the elderly. Pleasant speech. Yani, speak to them nicely. Use nice words. And a nice intonation. And he speak to them in a way that's pleasant, that they're going to feel good when you speak to them. وَطِيبَ الْمُعَامَلَةِ. Yani, your interaction with them, your dealings with them, should be also very nice. Should be good, should be wholesome. Yani, the way you deal with them, the way you interact with them. When you have any interaction with the elderly, whatever it might be, whether it's a family member, or in the marketplace, or an elderly person you meet on the street or in the masjid, wherever, the way you interact with them should be pleasant, should be nice, should be cordial. وَجَمِيلَ التَّوَضُّدُ. and that a person has a beautiful show of affection with the elderly. Meaning that they actually see when you deal with them that you have affection for them. You show that in your interaction with them. He said, and it is also manifested in other ways. غَيْرُ ذَلِكَ مِنْ سُورَ الْإِكْرَامِ يعني that there are other manifestations of al-ikram. From amongst them is the way you speak to them. From amongst them is your interaction with them. And from amongst them is showing them affection when you deal with them. And from amongst them also is husnul dhan. And very importantly, that you have husnul dhan. Because when dealing with elderly people, sometimes because they are elderly, because they are old, because of their condition, a person might not think well of them. And from yani the manifestations of ikram of the elderly is having husnul dhan, thinking well of them, seeing them in a good light, and not allowing the whispering of shaitan to allow you or to cause you to look at this elderly person. This person is old, maybe they're weak, maybe they might be poor, their clothing might not be up to par, and this might cause you yani to have su'ul dhan. And from the rights, yani, or from the aspects of ikram of the elderly, is that you have a good view of them, good thought of them. And as well, in my own mind, I think it's also from the aspects of ikram, is that a person hopes for good for them. That a person consciously thinks about the elderly and hopes for good for them. This is also an aspect of ikram. After this, the Shaykh, he goes to the third right of the rights of the elderly. He says, "أن تبدأه بإلقاء السلام عليه." Yani that you initiate with him, offering salams to him. That you initiate the salams. That you greet him first. "أن تبدأه بإلقاء السلام عليه كما في الحديث." Just as it came in the hadith. He's referring here to the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And in part of the hadith, and it has various narrations, he quotes one part of it here that's significant, that's يعني, a shahid to what we're talking about. He said, يُسَلِّمُ الصَّغِيرُ عَلَى الْكَبِيرِ يعني that the younger person initiates salams to the older person. وَالرَّاقِبُ عَلَى الْمَاشِي and the rider should initiate salams to the walking person. And in some of the narrations of the hadith, that the standing person initiates salams to the sitting person, that the one group to another group, and so on. What is important here is that the Prophet ﷺ gave us instructions about salams. And from those instructions is that a younger person should initiate the greeting to the older person. The Shaykh says, فَإِذَا لَقِيتَ كَبِيرَ السِّنِ لَا تَنْتَظِرْ أَنْ يَبْدَعَكَ بِالسَّلَامِ. If you meet an elderly person, don't wait for him to initiate the salams. بَلْ سَارِعْ وَبَادِرْ بِإِلْقَاءِ السَّلَامِ عَلَيْهِ بِكُلِّ أَدَبٍ وَاحْتِرَامٍ وَبِكُلِّ تَوْقِيرٍ وَلُطْفٍ. He says, so if you meet an elderly person, don't wait for them to initiate the salam. Rather, you should hurry, you should hasten, you should rush to offer the salam to them, observing every aspect of good manners, adab and respect, ihtiram, and tawqir, honor and reverence for them, and lutf, yani gentleness or politeness. Yani be the first one to initiate the salams. Hasten, hurry to initiate the salams, observing good manners in the way you greet them, and showing yani respect in the manner that you greet them, and a sense of reverence and politeness and gentleness when you greet them. وَتُرَعِ أَيْدًا حَالَهُ فِي كِبْرِ سِنِّهِ. And also pay attention or take into consideration also his condition in his old age. Pay attention to his condition. فَإِذَا كَانَ سَمْعُهُ سَلِيمًا تُسَلِّمْ عَلَيْهِ بِسَوْتٍ يَسْمَعُهُ وَلَا يُؤْذِيهِ وَإِذَا كَانَ بِسَبَبِ كِبَرِ سَنِّهِ فَقُلَ سَمْعُهُ أَيْضًا تُرَاعِي ذَلِكَ. يعني, so here the Shaykh is alluding to a point that he's going to come to in more detail later, but this is in reference to initiating salams to the elderly, to pay attention to take into consideration the actual condition of this elderly person. When you are giving salams to a person, then you have to consider, if it's an elderly person, their hearing, their ability to hear. When the person gets older, it is not unusual that they begin to lose their hearing ability. And sometimes they can't hear as well. Sometimes they almost lose it completely, and sometimes they lose it completely. فَإِذَا كَانَ سَمْعُهُ سَلِيمًا. So if his hearing is intact, yani his hearing is fine, then give salams to him with a voice, yani, that he can hear, yani, without it causing harm to him. Yani, don't shout at him. His hearing is fine, give him the salams in a normal way so that he can hear you without, yani, harming him or annoying him. وَإِذَا كَانَ بِسَبَبِ كِبَرِ سِنِّهِ فَقُلَ سَمْعُهُ عَيْدًا تُرَاعِ ذَلِكَ. So if it is due to his old age that his hearing is, yani, difficult, and he can't hear well, then also take this into consideration. Pay attention when you are greeting the elderly person to their condition, specifically in reference to them being able to hear you or not. The Shaykh says, Rabian, fourth point. إِذَا حَدَّثْتَ كَبِيرًا فِي السِّنِّ نَادِهِ بِأَلْطَفْ خِطَاب يَا عَمِّي. Yani, if you speak to an elderly person, then address him with the most polite speech. أَلْطَفْ خِطَاب. Yani, the most gentle, polite speech that you can address him with, in meaning the way you address him when you call him. Like, for example, you say, Ya Ammi. Ya Ammi, yani, the meaning of it literally is, oh, my uncle. Meaning, this person is like your father, like your father's brother. That's the respect that you have for the elderly person that you don't know from anywhere. He's not your father's brother. But in the same way that you have to show respect for your father and your father's brother, that's the way you respect every elderly person. Ya Ammi. And I must admit that I don't remember reading any hadith concerning this particular matter previously, but in the Muslim countries it is very common that the younger people address the older people with this expression. So the Shaykh, he says here, that word or that expression, Ya Ammi, or whatever is similar to it, yani, that is an expression, an address of respect. احتراماً لسنه وقدره ومكانته. Yani, you are addressing him with this kind of address, this kind of very polite speech, out of respect for his age and his worth or his rank and his station. Yani, respecting his position. A person addresses the elderly person with a speech that is, yani, in consideration of showing respect for him due to his age. Then the Shaykh mentions two hadith to support this matter of the use of a very polite and respectful expression that you use when you address the elderly, not just calling them by their first name, in the same way that it is not common, at least amongst Muslims, that you address your mother or your father by their first name, out of respect. The first report he mentions is reported by the narration that's reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, عن أبي أمامة ابن سهل رضي الله عنه. And he on the authority of Abu Umama ibn Sahl, may Allah be pleased with him, قال صلينا مع عمر ابن عبد العزيز الظهر ثم خرجنا حتى دخلنا على أنس ابن مالك رضي الله عنه فوجدناه يصلي العصر. وجدناه يصلي العصر. And Abu Umama ibn Sahl رضي الله عنه, he said, we prayed with Umar ibn Abdul Aziz the Dhuhr prayer, the noon time prayer. ثم خرجنا حتى دخلنا على أنس ابن مالك. And then we left him. We went away from him. And at some point, we entered upon Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه, the great companion of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فوجدناه يصلي العصر. We found him performing the Asr prayer. We found him performing Salat. He was performing the Asr prayer. Keep in mind, they just got finished praying Dhuhr prayer. And by the way, in the translation, here it is translated, the Asr prayer is translated as the forenoon prayer. I don't know how. So please make a note in your English translation, it is not the forenoon prayer. We know the Asr prayer is the late afternoon prayer, yani after Dhuhr, yani before Maghrib. We found him performing the Asr prayer. فَقُلْتُ يَا عَمِّي. This is the shahid. This is the point that the shaykh is narrating this hadith for. He said, I said to him, يَا عَمِّي. Not because he is my father's brother, but because he is an elder. And out of respect, we use this kind of expression. مَا هَذِي الصَّلَاةَ الَّتِي صَلَّيْتَ. What is this prayer that you have just performed? We just got finished praying Dhuhr. What are you performing? He said, قَالَ الْعَصْرِ. He said, I have performed the Asr prayer. And then he said, وَهَذِهِ صَلَاتُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ أَلَّتِي كُنَّا نُصَلِّي مَعَهُ. He said, and this is the salat of the Messenger of Allah, أَلَّتِي كُنَّا نُصَلِّي مَعَهُ, which we used to pray with him. And in the translation, there's an indication that what is intended here, هَذِهِ صَلَاتُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, this is the time of the salat of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we used to pray with him. Yani this is the time that we used to pray the Asr prayer with the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what is being indicated here is that at that time, at that period of time, some of the rulers of the Muslims used to delay the prayer. So they were performing the Dhuhr prayer almost at the time of Asr. They used to delay the prayer. And so what Anas ibn Malik is referring to here is that this is actually the time for the Asr prayer. Even though you just got finished praying Dhuhr, you prayed it late. And I am performing the prayer on time. The shahid here, what is important is that the narrator of the hadith, Abi Umama ibn Sahl radiallahu anhu, is referring to Anas ibn Malik with this expression, Ya Ammi, out of respect for his age. The second narration that the shaykh mentions is a little bit more difficult report. This hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, annahu qala bayna ana waqifun fi as-saf yawm badr nazartu an yamini wa shimali fa idha ana bayna gulamaini min al-ansar hadithatin asnan أسنانهما. عبد الرحمن بن عوف رضي الله عنه, he says that while I was standing in the saf, in the ranks, yani on the battlefield, on the day of Badr, I looked to my right and to my left, and I realized that I was between two young men from the Ansar who were very young in age. تمنيت لو كنت بين أضلوع منهما. يعني I wished that I had been between, يعني أقوى منهما. I wished that I had been between, that I had been between two people who were stronger than them. Not these two young boys. And on the battlefield, the Battle of Badr. He looks to his right, he looks to his left, sees two little boys. Like he said, I wish that I had been between two people stronger than these. Because this is a major battle. This is going to be real war. فَغَمَزَنِي أَحَدُهُمَا So one of them, yani it's possible, the translation, it's possible that it could be winked, because غَمَزَنِي could mean أَشَارَ بِعَيْنِهِ or لَمَسَ بِيَدِهِ And what is more likely is the second meaning, that he touched me with his hand, yani to get his attention. One of them, he touched me to get my attention. And he said to me, يَا عَمِّي And I do want to read yani, some of the narrations of this particular hadith because of the importance of some yani, how the wording came in some other places. But in any case, what is important here, he said he yani, touched me or he got my attention and he said, Ya Ammi, hal ta'arifu Abu Jahl? Do you know, O uncle, do you know Abu Jahl? Qala, qultu na'am, wa ma hajatuka ilayhi. Ya ibn akhi. He said, yes, meaning I know him, but what is your need? Yani ma hajatuka, what need do you have with him? Ya ibn akhi, oh my nephew. Yani responding and like, yani with a respectful term for a young man. He said, so what need do you have for him? What is it that you want to know about Abu Jahl? This is on the battlefield, the Battle of Badr. And Abu Jahl was the enemy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani his uncle who was evil, kafir, mushrik. قَالَ أُخْبِرْتُ أَنَّهُ يَصُبُّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ He said, I have been informed that he curses, that he does curse, or that he, yani insults the Messenger of Allah, صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ He said, I swear by the one in whose hand is my soul. لَإِنْ رَأَيْتُهُ لَا يُفَارِقُ سَوَادِي سَوَادَهُ حَتَّى يَمُوتُ الْأَعْجَلُ مِنَّا He said, I swear by the one in whose hand is my soul. Were I to see him, my body would not be separated from his body. Yani we would be fighting until one of us dies. حَتَّى يَمُوتُ الْأَعْجَلُ Yani some of the explainers of the hadith said, Alladhi huwa aqrab ajalan. Yani the one who is nearest to death. Yani there's nothing going to separate us until one of us dies. Whoever Allah decreed to die first. But we're not going to be separated until somebody is dead. I want to stop here for a minute because of yani, the importance of this narration. And I think yani, the time is okay. Right. Yeah, so in one of the narrations of this hadith that's reported in Al-Bukhari, the Yani Abdurrahman ibn Auf, he says that that's what the young man said to him. In some of the narrations it said, he said it to me secretly, so that the other young boy on my other side couldn't hear what he was saying to me. And when he finished saying what he said, the other one got my attention and he whispered to me. So that the other one couldn't hear the same thing. That I want to be the one, if I find him, I'm not going to separate from him until one of us is dead. Both of them having the same intent. And some of the explanations of this hadith, it said they were sons of the same woman. Yani they had the same mother. Two young boys from the Ansar. So, at this point, Abdurrahman ibn Awf radiallahu anhu said, after a moment, I saw Abu Jahl going amongst the people. So I said, this is the one that you guys are looking for. The man that you're asking about, that you asked me about, there he is. فَابْتَدَرَاهُ بِسَيْفَيْهِمَا فَضَرَبَاهُ حَتَّى قَتَلَاهُ He said, so they both hastily attacked him with their swords, and they struck him with their swords until they both killed him. فَمَنْ صَرَفَ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ Then they left him, and they went to the Messenger of Allah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ and they informed him. And he said, أَيُّكُمَا قَتَلَهُ He said to the two little boys, young boys, which of you killed him? And each one of them said, I have killed him. The Prophet ﷺ said to them, "Did you wipe off your swords? Yani the blood from your swords?" They said, "No." So he looked at their two swords and he said, "Kilakuma qatalahu." Both of you have killed him. And some of the narrations, it said that he gave, yani that person's property, who they had killed, Abu Jahl, to one of them over the other. And in some of the explanations, it said the reason for that, when the Prophet ﷺ looked at their swords, one of them, his sword had going more deeply into the one they killed, so he gave him the, yani that person's property from the spoils of war. In some of the narrations, it also mentioned that after this event, Abdurrahman ibn Auf said that there is nobody I would have loved to be between more than these two young boys. Allahu musta'an, Allahu akbar. Tayyib, after this, the fifth and final point that the Shaykh mentions of the rights, or the final point for tonight, in any case, the rights of the elderly, he says, and yuqaddam fil kalam, yani that they should be given precedence in speaking, yani they should be the first one allowed to speak. Wa yuqaddam fil majlis, ويقدم في الطعام ويقدم في الدخول فهذا من حقوقهم ولهذا جاء في الصحيحين عن سهل ابن أبي حثمة رضي الله عنه قال to the end of the hadith. Yani, in any case, the Shaykh is saying here that from the rights of the elderly is that they be given precedence in terms of who should speak first. Yani, if more than one person needs to speak, then the elder should be given precedence to speak first. And likewise, in gatherings, they should be given preference. And in eating, they should be given preference, yani to be fed first. And in entering, yani they should enter first. All of these are indications of what? That from the rights of the elderly is that they should be given preference over the people who are younger than them. This is from the rights of the elderly, and this is why it came in As-Sahihain, that is Al-Bukhari and Muslim, on the authority of Sahal ibn Abi Hathma radiallahu anhu. He said, Intalaqa Abdullah ibn Sahal wa Muhayyisatu ibn Mas'ud ibn Zayd ila Khaybar wa huwa yawma idhin sulhun. He said that Abdullah ibn Sahal radiallahu anhu and Muhayyisa ibn Mas'ud ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu both went to Khaybar. And at that time there was a peace treaty with the Jews in Khaybar. Fatafarraqa, so they separated from one another. That is Abdullah ibn Sahal and Muhayyisa ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhuma, they separated from one another. Fa'ata Muhayyisa إلى عبد الله بن سهل وهو يتشحط في دم قتيلا. He said when he came back and met Abdullah Sahal after they had been separated, he found him laying in a pool of blood. يعني murdered, killed, he had been killed. فدفنه, so he buried him. ثم قدم المدينة فانطلق, then he returned to Medina. فانطلق عبد الرحمن بن سهل, يعني عبد الرحمن بن سهل, apparently the brother of عبد الله بن سهل, the one who was murdered. ومحيصة وحويصة ابن مسعود, and the two sons of, يعني مسعود, محيصة and حويصة, came, the three of them, عبد الرحمن بن سهل, and these two brothers came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فذهب عبد الرحمن, yani Abd al-Rahman ibn Sahal, began to yatakallam, to speak. فَقَالَ كَبِّرْ كَبِّرْ, and it was said, yani let the older, the elder, speak first. وَهُوَ أَحْدَثَ الْقَوْمِ, the one who began to speak, Abd al-Rahman, he was the youngest of the people. So it was said to him, كَبِّرْ كَبِّرْ, yani let the older person, yani in age, the one who is bigger in age, speak first. fasakata, or nam fasakata. So he remained silent. At that point, he became silent. Fatakallama, and the other two who were older than him spoke. Faqala, then it was said, yani by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, atahlifuna wa tastahiquna qatilakum aw sahibakum, yani will you be willing to swear on an oath, yani about who, about the murder of yani this Muslim, will you be willing to swear under oath so that you may take your rights against the murderer, the one who killed him? قالوا وكيف نحلف, how can we swear, ولم نشهد, and we didn't witness the murder, ولم نرى, we didn't see. قال فتبريكم يهود بخمسين. Here, yani, this the explanation of this hadith differ in terms of the possible meanings of the expression here, but it appears to me, and Allah knows best, that what is intended here, yani when the Prophet ﷺ asked them to swear, yani upon who killed this person or how he was killed, and they said, we didn't witness it and we didn't see anything. So he said, فَتُبْرِيكُمْ يَهُودُ بِخَمْسِينَ. So the Jews who are suspected of being the murderers, they can free themselves from blame, they can exonerate themselves by 50 of them swearing that they didn't do it. Yani tubrikum, yani they will clear themselves, exonerate themselves to you, the Yahud, by 50 of them swearing that they didn't do it. Some of the explanations said that they will free you of swearing. Since you can't swear, you didn't witness, they will free you by them swearing. But what appears to be, yani the more apparent meaning, is that they will exonerate themselves by 50 of them swearing that they didn't murder the man. And of course, 50 of them swearing means that 50 of them are going to be in trouble in front of Allah by swearing that they didn't murder him, and they did. فَقَالُوا كَيْفَ نَأْخُذُوا أَيْمَانَ قَوْمٍ كُفَّارٍ. They said, how can we take the oath? How can we accept the swearing of people who are disbelievers? Huh? Listen to this. That's what they said to the Prophet ﷺ, which is a lesson for us, which is a real lesson for us. And the Prophet ﷺ accepted what they said. فَعَقَلَهُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنْ عِنْدِهِ. So he paid the blood money for the man who was murdered. And they said, how can we accept them swearing? The Prophet accepted what they said and he paid the blood money. He said, for sure we can't accept what they said. No need. He paid the blood money for the man who was murdered. الشاهد, yani the Shaykh says, الشاهد قوله كبر كبر يريد السن. Yani the point that this narration is mentioned in reference to is the statement in this hadith where it said, كبر كبر, the youngest of the three began to speak, and it was said, كبر كبر, meaning يريد السن, meaning the one who is older, yani in age, should speak first. Then the Shaykh says, وأيضا في قصة السواك وفي غيرها كان صلى الله عليه وسلم يراعي تقديم الكبير. And also in the incident of the siwak or miswak, and other than that, the Prophet ﷺ used to observe, give consideration to, or pay attention to giving priority or preference to the elder person. The story or the incident of the siwak is narrated in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ said, I saw myself in a dream using a miswak. فجاءني رجلان أحدهما أكبر من الآخر. Two men came to me, one of them was older than the other. فناولت السواك الأصغر منهما فقيل لي كبر فدفعته إلى الأكبر منهما. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in a dream, he saw himself with a miswak and two men came to him, and some of the narration said they were trying to take the miswak from him, meaning each of them wanted it from him. In this narration it says he gave it to the younger of them. And it was said, yani, was said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kabbir, yani meaning give it to the older one. So he gave it to the older of the two of them. And the Shaykh is saying that in this incident, on this event, and in other such events, yani it is known that the Prophet ﷺ used to give preference to the elder. Finally, the Shaykh mentions two narrations. The first of them is An Malik ibn Maghul, قال كنت أمشي مع طلحة ابن مصرف فسرنا إلى مضيق فتقدمني ثم قال لي لو كنت أعلم أنك أكبر مني بيوم ما تقدمتك. يعني مالك ابن مغول, he says that I was walking with طلحة ابن مصرف and we came to a narrow passage, يعني a place where only one could walk on it, يعني at a time. So he said طلحة ابن مصرف, he went ahead of me, and then he said to me, if I knew that you were older than me even by one day, I would not have went ahead of you. And this is also yani to teach us that the older person doesn't necessarily have to be older than you by 10 or 20 years, but actually preference is given in Islam to the older person. And even if, as he mentions here, if I knew that you were one day older than me, I would not have gone ahead of you. And this, mashallah, I have seen in my own life, yani a younger brother giving preference to his older brother, even if his older brother was only 1 year older than him. Not one day, but 1 year. Naam. And this is a good thing in Islam, that we yani show respect for this matter. Finally, the Shaykh mentions An Al-Fadl ibn Musa قال انتهيت أنا وعبد الله بن المبارك إلى قنطرة فقلت له تقدم وقال لي تقدم وحاسبته فإذا أنا أكبر منه بسنتين. Both of these narrations are mentioned by Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi in Al-Jami لأخلاق الراوي وأداب السامي باب تقديم الأكابر في الدخول. And both of these narrations are mentioned by Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi in his book يعني الجامي لأخلاق الراوي وأداب السامي. يعني what should be the manners or the character of the Rawi, the one who's narrating hadith, and the manners of the Sami, the one who's listening to it. The chapter entitled Giving Preference to Those Who Are Older and Entering. Both these narrations are narrated by him. And the final narration, he said, Al-Fadl ibn Musa said that I and Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak came to a bridge, and I said to him, تقدم, go ahead of me. And he said to me, تقدم, you go ahead of me. فحاسبته, يعني I calculated, I asked him about his age, يعني we took an account of our ages. فإذا أنا أكبر منه بسنتين. And as it turned out, he was older than me by 2 years, 2 years older than me. And with this we're going to stop for tonight. These are some of the rights of the elderly. And before we close, since we still have a few minutes, inshallah, we mentioned tonight five of the rights of the elderly. One of them, first one, without looking at the book, trying to look at the book, inshallah. First one. The first one that the Shaykh mentioned. Now, did the older one go first? But the first one that the Shaykh mentioned. Tawqir. Yani to show reverence, honor, and respect for the elderly. To have that in your heart, in your soul. The second of them. Naam. Before that. Ikram. Yani showing ikram for the elderly. Yani in different manifestations, the Shaykh mentioned, for example, when you speak to them with pleasant speech. When you interact with them in a good way. And so on, like this. Yani ikram, showing honor and respect. Yani in your dealings, in your speech, in your interaction with the elderly, yani honor them. Naam, in the way you deal with them, in the way you speak with them. The third of them. Naam. Give them salams first. When you meet an elder person, older than you, you initiate the salams. Hasten, hurry, rush to give them salams before they greet you. The fourth one. Now, be mindful how you address them. Address them in the most polite, respectful manner. Yani the words that you use to address them, like Ya Ammi or whatever, is similar to that. And the last one? And the last one? Now.
Put him first when it comes to make him first when it comes to eating and speaking, entering, eating, and
Entering, speaking, eating, at gatherings. Now, I need to give them preference, to let them be first. If there's more than one person that wants to speak, the elder has the right to speak first. If we're entering a place, the elder should enter first. If there's a preferable place in the gathering, should be given to the elder, and so on. Food, I mean, that's the one that we do know, that when we have a gathering, the elder should be fed first. We at least know that one, mashallah. Okay, and then we're going to close with one more question. The next question is, five things that we need to keep in mind in order to help us to fulfill the rights of the elderly. Five things. Even out of order, it doesn't matter.
Knowing the rights.
Knowing the rights, yani knowing the evidences in the Quran and the Sunnah that show us the importance of the rights of the elderly. Number two. Seeking aid from Allah, asking Allah's help to be able to do this or anything of good that we do. Third one, knowing the reward, yani looking at, examining, reflecting on the great reward that Allah has promised for showing respect, for fulfilling the rights of the elderly and being consistent in doing so. The fourth one, okay, out of order, but no problem. The fourth one is the principle, the basic principle. What is that principle? Kama tadinu tudanu. Yani just as you treat others is the way you will be treated. Keeping that principle in mind, that good comes from good, and the people who do evil will have an evil end. And the last one? Examining, looking at, studying, paying attention, knowing about the, yani the hala, the hala al-mubarakah, yani the blessed condition of the Salaf al-Salih. How the companions of the Prophet ﷺ and the tabi'un and the atba' tabi'in, how the early generation of the Muslims, how they dealt with the elderly, the manners that they observed, the respect that they showed for them, yani the value, the worth, the station and the status that the elderly had in their hearts, yani the way they treated the elderly, the respect that they showed for them, yani learning this, studying this, reading about it, knowing it, so that we can act the same way. These are five things that the Shaykh mentioned, which if a person knows them and thinks about them and reflects upon them and tries to act in accordance with them, it will help you. Number one, to fulfill the rights of the elderly, and number two, equally important, to be consistent in doing so. To be consistent in doing so. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Inshallah, if there's any questions or comments or corrections, any corrections we can take now, any questions or comments, inshallah, after the salat. Naam. Any corrections? Mubarakallahu feekum wa jazakum Allah khair. And it looks like, and Allah knows best, it looks like the next session will be our final session, yani with the remaining rites that the Shaykh mentions. And the following week will be, I think if I looked at the calendar and I'm correct, the following week will be just before the Eid, Eid al-Adha, in which case probably that class, that week will be dealing with yani some matters related to Eid al-Adha, some of his rules, regulations, sunan, and so on and so forth like that. And then we'll see what happens after that, inshallah. Now, barakallahu feekum wa jazakallahu khair. Next week, inshallah, bring somebody with you. Inshallah.